morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Seeking Salvation. If you're new here, thank you for joining. I am first going to do the Ten Commandments, and then we'll come back and talk about a lot of things, including relationships with toxic family members and kind of how to deal with that. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall not make idols. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 5. Honor your father and mother. 6. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10. You shall not covet. Welcome back, everybody. So this week is about family, and I'm going to talk a lot about this subject because I have a lot of experience with toxic family members and kind of dealing with that from the perspective of God. And it is not an easy thing. It may be one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with. And it's a constant learning curve. So I have talked many times in the 4 episodes that are up about what happened with my grandfather who sexually abused me. And eventually I did forgive him for what he did, and people really don't understand. But in my soul, I had to, and it led to a very profound moment in my life where I received grace from God, and I honestly believe that with all my heart. However, to understand the entire depth of what happened with my family and the fallout from this abuse, I need to relay what was happening around me as well. So my father was in the military. My mother was probably sexually abused by my grandfather. I'm not sure of that, but I have reasons to believe it. I, because of the abuse, was a very troubled teen, and I ran away constantly, mostly because of the toxic relationship with my mother. I lied, I stole. I was not pure in any respect. I was raped at the age of 13 after hitchhiking on the beach. And, you know, some people could say, in fact, I was made to feel like I was responsible for it. And so that led to a whole other string of mental issues that I had. I was tumultuous, to say the least. And it is not unusual, by the way, for people that have been sexually abused to be in that situation again and again, because we tend to trust people, or we don't trust anybody, but we do tend to put ourselves in these situations that occur again and again and again. And it is a hard thing to go through. It really is. And my heart goes out to anybody that's dealing with that kind of situation. And just be on your guard. And just because it happened once doesn't mean it has to happen again. And I know how much it hurts inside. And especially if it's a family member, to be betrayed on that level is one of the most heart-wrenching things a person can go through. And I pray for you, and if you want to reach out, please do, because I'm happy to talk to you about how I got to the point that I'm at with God and with forgiveness. So I don't say any of this, and this is important, to underscore that I want sympathy or anything like that. I have my discussions with God and my forgiveness, and I don't really need sympathy for what has happened to me. It is just a fact that this has happened. I say it mostly as a example of the fact that nobody is beyond God's reach. I am probably one of the most flawed people on the planet, given my past. I mean, I haven't committed mass murder or anything, but I am very flawed, and I still am to this day. So, you know, my mother taught me to steal at the age of like 6, and it has grown from there, right? I have done drugs. I have never been arrested. There were things that led to all of this, though, and it started with the sexual abuse, but even less so the relationship of my parents. So my mother, I believe, was abused. And so she had a very toxic relationship with my father, and they would scream and fight and throw things. And I remember hiding under laundry baskets. I've always talked to God. I used to talk to God then. I would sleep with my hand up in the air because I thought I was holding God's hand or somebody's hand. I don't know. But eventually, like, this got worse and worse and worse. And I used to have very bad nightmares about a mirror with a face on it, like a tiger face. I found that mirror later in my grandfather's house, which, I don't know, it's kind of surreal, but I don't know what happened or if anything happened. I just know that that was a nightmare. But the main point is that you're not beyond God's reach. Even if you have all of this stuff going on and you have so many things against you, God is there, and you can forgive and you can move on from this. The betrayal of my entire family, eventually on both sides, was difficult, but they do not stand alone in the blame. I left, and I was a child, and yes, they should have protected me. However, I was also responding to the things that happened to me in unhealthy ways. So my entire life has been a kind of mishmash of all of these bad influences, right? And I know people that have had it much worse, and I want to say that, because in saying any of this, I do recognize that life is what it is, right? Like everybody has their challenges. And I honestly believe that is how you choose to live out your challenges that really determines the character of your person. So on my mother's side, eventually I said what happened with my grandfather, and the fallout of that was nobody believed me about the rape or the sexual abuse, and that was devastating to me. I remember feeling so broken inside, and it is really difficult for me to remember some things about that time. I have 2 years of abuse that I blocked out completely, so I have 2 years of my life that I don't remember at all. I can look at pictures of myself at that time. I have no memory of it. And it's very weird to look at pictures of yourself and just not be able to remember it, but know that it's you. So, and this has happened because during this time, my mother threw out my baby books. And I like to think that she was trying to protect me from the memory of what happened, but she also got rid of all the memories of me. So I have like, I mean, at this point, I think I have like 20 pictures of me as a child, but you know, there were many more and they have all been lost. So I was definitely a troubled teen. In my 13-year-old mind, I could not have fathomed forgiving anybody. I was kicked out and abandoned by the people that I thought loved me. The interesting thing is that my cousins went through various forms of abuse as well. We kind of were children growing up in this very strange household, and it was very traumatic, and we all experienced it in different ways. And I can't really say all the stories because they're not my stories to tell, but I can tell you that our family was very impacted by the toxicity of our family. So, and that is something that we still deal with to this day. On my father's side, he did not know what was going on, and my father was a pretty good person. And I say that because he helped people. He did have flaws. It's not my place to point them out, but I was spiraling out of control. Like I ended up indulging in all kinds of risky behavior. And I did this thing where I was back and forth between my mom and my dad a lot. And I really did not know what to do. I think I was just running to find something, right? So I ended up engaging in very risky behavior, including taking drugs. I almost ran over one of my boyfriends, and that was definitely God intervening in that. I take full responsibility for what I did. However, it did result in me moving out at the age of 16 and in with a 24-year-old. This was before this was considered, you know, an arrestable offense, right? 16 and 24. And to be fair, like I was just making a whole bunch of bad decisions at that time. By the age of 17, I had moved back with my mother and joined the army. I did manage to graduate high school with a GED, and it was not easy, right? Like it was one of the worst times of my life, and but it did kind of add the basis for who I am today. I was not ready for the army, however. I ended up getting married and to a person that I cannot say who it is because there are innocent people involved. But he ended up committing suicide. He was married to someone else with a child. And I just cannot hurt a child. In any case, like I was kind of chaotic and, you know, I remember being in the army and I was dating a guy and I completely lied about having a English accent. And I don't know why I did that. It was crazy. I don't know why I did it. But, you know, by the time I was in my 20s, I pretty much had left all my family behind and did not look back. I didn't know them and nobody believed me and I was beyond hurt by this point in my life. And I just want to say I do forgive all of my family members, including my mom and my dad and any aunts or uncles that I had that kind of contributed to this, you know, crazy time that I was going through. It was a result of things that happened to me. And, you know, if anybody did wrong me, just know you're forgiven. It's not a thing that I struggle with. I do not feel like a victim anymore. I do not need apologies or forgiveness and, you know, or apologies for. I will absolutely give you forgiveness if you are seeking that. I did have a family member just, you know, call me and say that they were so sorry that they should have said something. And my response to that was, you were five. Like, there is no way you could have controlled this. So, and I had another cousin who was actually put into the adoption system because she outed somebody. So, you know, to say that it was a very kind of crazy situation does not really detail the craziness of the situation. So fast forward to now, I'm 55, and I reached out to my cousin, and we're trying to reunite our family, but it's not so easy. We have, you know, very difficult familial patterns, and we are trying, but you have to, when it comes to toxic family members, and it comes to kind of repairing those roads, which I absolutely believe is important. There are two sides to this, though, too. Okay, so there is love and forgiveness, and Jesus emphasized love and forgiveness, right? He wants you to love your enemies and your neighbors. And if you are dealing with a difficult family member, that is difficult because sometimes they're abusive, and, you know, I don't think Jesus would condone bad behavior. In fact, in Matthew 10:34-36, he said, "Don't imagine that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household." And that's a crazy statement, because while you should forgive everybody, also you should not be abused, and you should follow God. And I have, you know, I have opinions on the Bible, right? Like, I do believe that Jesus called out to beware of the scribes and how they changed the Bible. But of the tenets that I believe in of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is absolutely at the top. And the Ten Commandments as well, right? Because this is God's law. And God wants us to pay attention to the Ten Commandments. So you have to love your father and mother, right? Because it says honor your father and mother. It actually does not say that you have to love them. It says you have to honor them. So doing your best to honor your parents and forgiving them for their mistakes is honoring them, right? Whether you have a close relationship with them is not what Jesus said. He said to forgive them. So it's two different things, right? So you have honor your father and your mother, which is a commandment, and Jesus said to forgive people. Forgive your enemies and forgive the people that you love, right? So those are the two instructions. Nowhere does it say that forgiveness means staying in bad situations, and nowhere does it say that your parents are perfect, right? These are two separate guidelines from God and from Jesus that we absolutely have to abide by. However, you should always seek peace, but peace doesn't always come in the form of placating either. So I kind of always thank God for the fact that I left and he protected me when I was going through these crazy situations and making these really bad decisions on my own as a 16-year-old. Right? But I have to think that there was a reason that I was on my own because God gives free will, but God has always protected me in these situations, like being drunk and almost running over my boyfriend with a car because we were messing around in a cornfield. That could have ended disastrously. And I stopped at the exact right moment, and it was okay. But it could have not been okay. If I had not had a relationship with God my whole life, I don't know how that would have turned out. And I thank God today for all of the times that he's interceded on my behalf, which has been many. And so I really try to live in a good way now because I want to continue, one, to be grateful for his grace on my life because I don't know why, but he has always protected me. And there have been many, many situations that I can enumerate, but also when it comes to my family, right? Because I could have had a worse family. I could have had a better family, but I could have had a worse family. But he protected me within that structure until he couldn't protect me anymore. And I left, and I kind of just left, and it was crazy. And I did have a child out of wedlock, and there's all kinds of sins that I committed. And while I get it, and I just wasn't capable of dealing with good decisions at the time, and I had no discernment. I had love of God. I've always had love of God. I had no discernment. I had no experience with the words of God. So I've studied the Bible and I've studied other religions. I've done a lot of comparative religion courses and I've read the Bible, quite a bit. I can definitely quote the Bible and, these things have always been in my mind. But to say that I've actually studied, I guess at various points I have. But never for a long time, right? Like at this point, I study almost every day and I pray every single day, usually twice a day. I listen to the Bible on the way to work because it's 40 minutes in the car and I can listen to the Bible. I try to listen and do a study session with Kanoi, Heart Dive with Kanoi. I just gotta give a shout out to her because I love her YouTube channel. She does daily study and she does a lot of research into the history, which I find very interesting, right? So my point about all of this is you should forgive people their sins against you. And I know some sins are harder than others. How do you forgive somebody that killed your son? Or how do you forgive an uncle who raped his niece? These are complicated questions, and it took me a long time to get to that point. Even though my forgiveness was instantaneous, and the grace that happened because of it was instantaneous, it took a lot of time for me to truly understand what I did, right? I kind of forgave on the spur of the moment, and it was amazing. And it was this, this feeling of light entering my body from the top of my head. And I always describe it as a download, but it took me a long time to understand the implications of what I did, if that makes sense. Like, I kind of just one of those people, I always forgive people, and I don't always understand what I did until later. And so you have to love people. And for whatever reason, I have always loved people. And I've always felt this connection to the earth and I felt this connection to family. I get hurt really easy. And, so I have always had that. But understanding what that meant, and I could only echo this in a conversation that I had with a cousin that was talking about the fact that this person was somebody he loved and he couldn't see that. And in that moment, I was like, but not everything about him was bad. And that hit me like a ton of bricks later, right? Because I was like, wow. What did I just do? Like, what did I just realize? It was an epiphany because I forgave my grandfather for what he did, but I never really could see the good in him, right? Like, so I forgave him for being awful, but I never recognized up until that point that he must have been good to somebody. And it was like a crazy realization at that time. And I just remember just being like floored by that epiphany. But it did kind of set in motion this response to the world that no matter what people do, nobody is all good or all bad. And that's a difficult place to get to, especially when you consider child rape and murder and all of the bad things that happen in this world, right? Like sitting there going, but they must have been good to somebody. You know, the alternative is they had no good at all. But in every person, the light of God exists. So there is a spark or there's something in their past or in their present or their future that they can love or that they have loved. So that is how I try to approach family now, is that everybody has made mistakes. Everybody has. You have. And part of dealing with toxicity is understanding your own toxicity towards your family, right? What are the things that you did that brought this about? And I'm not saying that a five-year-old is responsible for what happens to them. I'm saying that leaving or giving up, or that's not the alternative. And often it is, right? You act out and you act in ways that are contrary to your true nature because of these things that have happened to you when you grow up. And I understand that it's difficult. I do. And most people don't understand how I could even forgive my grandfather. But I can tell you that it is the absolute way to God and to freedom from the things that haunt you. So I do talk about love and forgiveness, but also setting boundaries. It is difficult, you know, because there are people that are acting against God, and you have to love them in the place that they are. And I say that a lot. You have to meet people where they are. You have to love people where they are, because you can't expect somebody who has never forgiven anybody and is completely selfish to understand the reconciliation of forgiveness. You can't do that. You have to start simple, right? With simple things. When you're spreading the word of God, you have to start with simple things. This is why Jesus taught parables, because most people cannot understand how to forgive somebody who murders. They cannot understand how to forgive somebody who hurts a child or an animal, right? So you have to start with the basics. And that is often how family is, right? Like you have to start with the basics of love and forgiveness, and you have to set boundaries with them. You have to say, you know, I can't engage in this behavior because it's negative, or I can't engage in this behavior because it's not helping anything. You know, you can try to point them in the right direction. You can try to talk about God and the love and forgiveness that is required. But it's not up to you to point out their faults, right? you could say general things like, I don't think this is a positive trend and we're having difficulty, and I get that it's difficult. I want to recommend a book here too about setting boundaries and communication, and it's called Nonviolent Communications, one of the best things I've ever read, and it is absolutely a must if you're dealing with toxic people. It teaches you how to communicate with them in a way that is not going to make them defensive. And I have a problem with defensiveness, right? Like it's my default mode, man. If I get defensive, you know something's going on in my head, right? But I try to work on it. I try to overcome it because it is not loving to be defensive to people and to defend yourself. But I'm used to that, right? I've been abandoned. I have bad familial patterns in my life. I have all these challenges that I've gone through that when I feel like I'm being attacked or questioned, or, you know, somebody is yelling at me or unhappy with me, I immediately start defending myself because it is what I do. So you have to reverse that. And I still struggle with this. Setting boundaries for me is difficult, but learning how to talk to people is also very difficult. So that Nonviolent Communication book is incredible. And also the other book that I would recommend is The Five Love Languages. This completely reversed my relationship with my son because he has a different love language and I did not know it. And, you know, now I understand what he needs, right? He needs me to be present and listen to him and spend time talking to him about stuff that I may not even be that interested in. But the thing that I found is when he talks about it, I am happy for him because he feels like he's expressing himself. And it is a crazy feeling inside to know that you're loving someone in the way that they need to be loved. And I recommend it, especially for family members, because they may not need what you need to be in. For example, my dad, who I adored, right? He was a giving gifts type of person. That's how he showed love, right? He received love by acts of service. He liked people doing stuff for him, but he gave love by gifts. And I was a quality time person, right? Like I liked somebody to spend time with me. I like to do things. Little gifts mean a lot to me, but if you try to buy me, it just doesn't work. And that has translated into my love life as well. I am not attracted to people that try to buy my love. It cannot be done. So this book is incredible for everybody. The third thing that you need to do when dealing with toxic family members is prioritize spiritual values. So if you are seeking God and your family maybe is not, this is the time that you should try to prioritize the teachings of Jesus, right? Forgive and love and discussion and trying to understand where they're coming from. You should prioritize your spiritual health over your family, right? God first, family second. Okay, so love God, then love people. And that has been stated so many times in the Bible, like Jesus said, the greatest two commandments, right? You should love God and have no other gods before him, and you should love your neighbor. Right? Or family. But that was kind of the gist of the whole thing, right? You have to love God first. And if that is interfering, if anything is interfering with your relationship with God, you need to look at that. And that includes materialism. Materialism is a big one. And I struggle with that as well. I used to. I mean, I did just buy a bunch of stuff for CPR, but I literally have tried to stop buying unnecessary things because it just clouds your space and it lowers your frequency to deal with God, to talk to God. And it's very true. And I'm not trying to impose my beliefs on anyone. This podcast literally is about seeking salvation with Jesus and how I have come to that point in my life. So prioritize your spiritual values above everything else, including unhealthy family relationships. The fourth thing that you have to do is seek peace. And family members are so good at pushing your buttons. I used to say that my son was so good at pushing my buttons, better than anybody that I've ever met except for my mother. He could say something and I would just go 0 to 60 in like a second, right? And I'm trying to work on that with him. And I do much better now that I concentrate on God every day than I have ever done with him. And I understand his love language, so I'm able to give him messages that are important, that are focused on God. I try to be cognizant of the fact that he's young and he does not have all of the lessons that he should have had from me. That was my failing, right? So trying to parent adult children after you realized you messed up is very difficult because you have to do it with a presence of letting them be an adult and choose, but also telling them the right way to go about things. So I try to balance that, and I definitely pick my battles with him. But the overall emphasis for me is on what would Jesus say about this situation. And that's what I just try to do all the time. So, you know, these are just kind of the four things that I have come to use while dealing with family members, right? Love and forgiveness, setting boundaries, prioritizing spiritual values, and seeking peace. Seeking peace is a big one. And, you know, if you have to go away, you can still be peaceful about it. It does not have to be toxic on your part. You can still treat people with love. You do not have to excommunicate everybody. You do not have to yell at people. You could treat people with love and still talk to them, but separate it to the point where God is first. So you should seek reconciliation, right? Like, you should try to seek reconciliation. And just do it in a way that honors God. And if you could look at anything you're doing and saying, this is not what God wants, then you have to reevaluate yourself. And it's hard to look at ourselves, right? We're so good at picking out other people's faults. We're so good at being defensive. Our world has made us this way. And we didn't even really have a choice about all of it, right? Like, we are in this world, and that is what this world is, and we react to what we see. And that whole thing with modeling behavior is absolutely true, right? People model what they see. When you grow up with your family, you model what you see. Breaking out of those lifelong patterns and toxicity, it can be difficult. It can be nearly impossible. The road is narrow, right? The way to death is wide, and many people go down that road, but the way to life is narrow. So it's hard. So I just want to go over some verses that I like to give verses, because I do believe anything true in God will have scripture to support it. And I actually look for that in my spiritual life. And when I talk, I want things that I say to be true and supported by scripture. So I'm going to go over a couple of them. I think there's like 10 of them here. Matthew 10:34-36. Don't imagine that I come to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. Proverbs 22:24-25. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. 2 Timothy 3, 1, verse 1 through 5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will only love themselves and their money. They will act religious, but they will reject a power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Titus 3, verse 10 through 11. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Romans 16, verse 17. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. This is my favorite verse in the Bible, without a doubt. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. So there you have it. Most of that is like the Jesus, the New Testament. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what you think is right. But I highly, highly recommend that you try to find forgiveness for your family members and try to reconcile right now before it's too late. In some cases, that may not be possible. And God gets that, right? God gets you. He understands who you are. I used to struggle all the time because I am a fighter. I stand up for little people. I fight for the right things. I will not abandon people if they're being attacked. I just won't do that. And I used to struggle because I'm like, well, that's not very, you know, lighthearted, or it's not very meek. But God chose me because of the fact that I fight. I've been fighting my whole life for the right thing. I just didn't always know it, right? So if you are feeling abandoned by your family and these things have happened to you, try to find it in your heart to move on, but also to forgive. Because ultimately, that is what's going to save you. That's what's going to redirect your life. And that's it. Like, I'm going to do a subscriber content on the Daniel diet, the Daniel fast. I am currently doing that for 3 weeks. And in order to receive direction from God and meditating every day, prayer, meditation, and eating veggies is hard. That's all I'm going to say. But I'm going to end with a worship song. I have a friend who's actually writing music for my show, and I'm very excited about it. And once that happens, then it will be. But it's hard with the copyright, right? You don't want your podcast to get violated. So please like and follow if you see this, and take care of yourselves because it's important. We're going to stop the show with a prayer and a worship song, and I will see you guys next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for being present and giving me the words today to talk about this subject, which is very difficult for many people. Please bless those people out there that have been through similar situations or are struggling with their family or struggling with anything that has to do with relationships. Help them find your way through the toxicity to the other side of forgiveness, because ultimately we know that forgiveness will help us be forgiven for our sins. Help those children that are facing perilous times in their family, often from family members, and help them seek you and know that you have them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.